telling his tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is even whiter outside right now, looking out of my studio window here, coming to you from 5:40 a.m. WAUK across southeastern Wisconsin than it was when I started my show today at 2 o'clock. Aaron, of course, on the board with me, helping me out today. Aaron, how's it looking in the Madison area?
Well, I can show those of you watching on the stream. Let's see, I'll pull that camera up. The snowfall is a little lighter than it was earlier. And the city workers of Madison are doing a good job at keeping the streets as clear as they can. But it's still snowing pretty hard. I imagine we're going to have a few more inches by the end of the day or by tomorrow.
Folks, you can check out both Aaron and I working hard for you and Aaron's wonderful shot of downtown Madison by watching us and not just listening on Civic Media's YouTube channel. Just search for Civic Media, or you can check out my show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for at Maggie Dawn Show, and you can watch us there. You can comment, and we will respond as best we can. About a half an hour ago, I started sort of a deeper dive into the historical analogs of tin pot dictators that become actual dictators, and almost universally, they metastasize, they gain in power and traction when they forge meaningful, lasting relationships with the billionaire overlords of their time. Does this sound familiar to anyone? and you can look at Tito back in the former Yugoslavia, the Franco regime in Spain, Mussolini in Italy, Stalin in Russia, Erdogan, right? If you look into modern times, Kim Jong-un in modern times in North Korea, over and over and over again, these are the patterns. But perhaps the dictator, the authoritarian that has gotten the most attention and who is most often cited for that exact symbiotic, corrupting relationship between the billionaire overlords of their time and a dictator is Adolf Hitler. There's no question that Hitler would have never risen to power. He would have never been able to seize control of the German government and capture the hearts and minds of a vast majority of Germans without the assistant, active support of the billionaire overlords of that time in the late 20s and early 30s in Germany. Historian Timothy Ryback just published an article about this in The Atlantic. It came out last week. I've been kind of letting a lot of this soak in so that we can have these conversations about it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to begin to dive into some of what Mr. Ryback shared in his article in The Atlantic, but I want to hear from you as well. What are your thoughts on this? Are we at this sort of a tipping point? We've got David from San Francisco joining us. David, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Oh, hey, Maggie. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed it, but today is Lincoln's birthday, his real birthday.
Yes.
And on that very day, the Republican Party has decided to get rid of the penny, the tribute to Lincoln. So, of course, they've got no replacement for it. And no replacement for a tribute to Lincoln. So I'm going to call them the bait and switch party. And when you start looking at the, as you're describing the rise of tyranny, the rise of fascism, as I've studied rise and fall of Rome, a number of other, even ancient Greece, I kind of suspect that cooking the books was the reason why they had to kill the government, that the cronies and the, you know, in our case, maybe the military industrial complex, they've so committed fraud that they can never allow themselves to be caught. And so they would allow the government to be stolen away in order to escape with all the money. And the problem with that is that the value of the money is based upon honest calculations, and these guys can't allow honest calculations. So I don't remember if I got on your show and mentioned right at the turn of the year, Donald Trump was talking about taking American gold and turning it into Bitcoin, buying Bitcoin with American gold. Now, after that, then he all of a sudden creates his own cryptocurrency. So if he's going to buy Bitcoin, well, what about his cryptocurrency? What about Melania cryptocurrency? What about Doge?
Right.
So it's obvious that they're creating a shell game, that they're going to try to buy Bitcoin. They're going to try to buy shell game. They're going to try Melania money. They bounce around with fake numbers. And it goes right to the same point that they've cooked the books and they can't afford to get caught. So they'll play a shell game with the value of America until we get tired of it. And that's what I smell.
David, thanks so much. Appreciate you calling in. Yeah, currency manipulation as a tool of dictators and authoritarians is incredibly well documented. Donald Trump's creation of what is effectively a very sophisticated money laundering operation, placing himself up for sale by selling these cryptocurrencies, both he and his wife. This is something that we should pay very close attention to. Why do you think Donald Trump may also be trying to threaten the independence of the Fed, our central bank, challenging the authority of the Federal Reserve chairman, of its independence, all of this of a part, right, of a whole? Let's dive in. We welcome more conversation from you all. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Often noted as the first industrialist, the first billionaire overlord of the time of Hitler's rise, is a guy by the name of Alfred Hugenberg, who in January of 1933 made his alliance with Hitler official. And again, it is that alliance that occurred in late January of 33, which then gave acceleration to catalyze the series of events that would culminate in basically the fall of Germany's government by June and the rise of Hitler and his control, his single-handed control of the entirety of Germany's government. The subsequent impact on Hugenberg's fortunes were not as he had hoped. But recall, if you go back to the late 20s and early 30s, Hitler's brand, his party, was anathema to the industrialists, the billionaire overlords of the time, basically the capitalists and the corporate elites from the late 20s and early 30s. He had a socialist German workers' party. Its political platform explicitly targeted, quote, the elites and bankers and financiers. And it challenged those sort of corporate elites much in the way that Donald Trump has tried to paint himself as an economic populist. And of course, in response to that branding of Hitler back in the late 20s, the businessmen of the time hated him. They preferred the more conservative, centrist, business-friendly politicians. And Hitler's National Socialists, of course, need money. You got to have money to keep your party and your movement going. They basically did that by asking for membership fees. They had their stormtroopers out on the corners, literally like begging for change. Oh, and they also charged admission fees to rallies. Does anything like this sound a little familiar to you about the grift that's been going, selling the suit he was booked into? Of course, the felon Steve Bannon soliciting donations for the wall, the golden sneakers, the Bibles, the cryptocurrency, go on and on and on. And of course, Hitler started to then effectively charm, most megalomaniacs can charm, some socialites and famous people. Another key industrialist was a guy by the name of Thyssen. He was the heir to one of Germany's biggest industrial fortunes. He was one of the very early financiers of the Nazi movement. He had met Hitler early on in, I believe it was like 1922-23. And he was just mesmerized at Hitler's ability to command a rally of a room full of people. He said this: "It was then that I realized that Hitler's oratorical gifts and his ability to lead the masses was unparalleled. What impressed me the most, however, was the order that reigned in his meetings, the almost military discipline of his followers." And he gave Hitler a really big check. And Hitler then continued to woo the industrialists of the time, speaking, in effect, out of both sides of his mouth, saying on the one hand to his followers, to the masses, to the vox populi, "I'm your guy, we'll fight the corporate elites," and out of the other side of his mouth, wooing those same corporate elites because he needed their money, he needed their support. And this started working quite well for Hitler. Hugenberg, the guy I started with, he had served as the director of Krupp, which was a large steelmaker and arms manufacturer during World War I, and subsequently founded the Telegraph Union, a media conglomerate with 1,400 newspapers. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. We'll be right back. We'll pick up exactly where we left off with Hugenberg, his media conglomerate, and his ownership of steel and arms manufacturing, and his newly formed alliance with Adolf Hitler. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our exploration of the historical antecedents to this moment in American history continues after these brief messages. Freedom.